The art of writing can serve many purposes, but I would argue that the most important purpose of literature is to connect people. Telling a story tells us not just about the writer themselves, but it is a reflection of the writer's society and community. Stories are how we share our culture and store our collective memories. Today, we're going to speak to some of the Eastern Township's most inspiring storytellers. Stick around, this is about Townshippers. Hello everyone, my name is Nathaniel Lamont, and welcome to About Townshippers. We're here weekly on CIDI 99.1 FM and CJMQ 88.9 FM. We put the spotlight on the services, events, and subjects that are important to English speakers throughout Quebec's eastern townships. Today, we have a double header of literary interviews. First, we'll be speaking with Stephen Gobi, who, in October, released his second novel called Brome County. This is the first in a planned series of novels that will be set in the Eastern Townships. We're going to learn a little bit about how Stephen has channeled his love for the Eastern Townships into a thrilling and diverse novel. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on. So, first off, Stephen, when did you first know that you wanted to write or that you liked writing?
As far back as I can remember, in elementary school, I loved composition days. In high school, the same. I was not that happy with math and the sciences, but I loved writing. In university, I took classes in creative writing. I studied English literature, and I've written for a long, long time. I've enjoyed it, and I've dabbled in it more as a hobby than anything else. It was not my career. I had another career path planned for myself. And in terms of writing novels, that only came later in life when I was retired and I had the time to focus on that. So up until that time, it had been short stories. And in addition to the classes that I took, I was often, and I still am, involved in writing groups. And that generates great motivation to get things done. I'm involved with one here in Knowlton. We're called Easy Writers of Lac Brome. And we meet at the library every Tuesday afternoon. And we share, and for myself, that's a great impetus, a great motivation to get new stuff out all the time. And that's, so I always test it, whatever I'm writing, I test it at with my friends at the writing group.
Oh, it's like a workshop? You read each other's works? And
We read our own works. Read our own works, and whoever's, there's no pressure on anyone, but if you're working on something, and we usually all, most of us have something to share, and we share something, and we also explore some writing techniques and advice for writers that we find on YouTube, and we might share them and discuss this. We do that. So it's and everyone in the room is working on a larger project, be it poetry or memoirs and so on. So we all have our own projects, and I think there's two or three of us working on novels. So that's a great format for us.
It sounds like a good format to get feedback. You just released in October, if I'm correct, your second novel, Brome County.
Correct, yes.
Could you give listeners a quick rundown of what Brome County is about?
Well, first of all, Brome County is my love letter to the Eastern Townships, and to especially to the Brome area. I've lived here since the 1970s. I've lived on and off in Brome and Mississauga County, and so I love the area. And this particular book includes a lot of my past experiences, but everything is fictionalized, of course. And essentially, the story is about a young man who is arrested for possession of cannabis when cannabis is on the verge of becoming decriminalized. And so he's not charged with anything, but something happens at that arrest. He falls in love with his arresting officer, and she's a female, but he's not proud of his life. So he takes the years to redeem himself. And she goes through her things too. But eventually, ultimately, in September of 2024, they meet once again at the Brome Fair. And there is a natural disaster that occurs, and they have to work together. So they're able to face the feelings that they have for each other, or maybe they don't have for each other. Who knows? You have to read the book to find out what happens.
That sounds like a really fun story.
It is a fun story. I thought it was fun writing it, and it is a fun story, full of humor, but also it has some depth to it as well.
So how does your writing your second story now, you have a or your second novel now, you have a little bit more experience. How does it compare to writing your first novel?
The first novel took me close to 10 years to write, and I went over it and over it and over it, and I struggled with it. I was an amateur novelist. Mm-hmm. And I made errors, and I had back and forth with editors, and now I have a better idea of where I'm going. And in Brome County, even in Brome County that I just wrote, there are things that I did that I would not do in my next one. So it's a continuous learning experience, and you learn by the errors that you make. Not huge, vast errors, but errors in planning and wasting of time and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Brome County is I think it's a fun story. It has its serious parts to it, of course. And I'd have to say that if you asked me what it's about, and I would say that it's about love, yes, but it's also about the redemption and the struggles for redemption.
Yeah.
Almost all of the characters, the main characters in the story, have something from their past that they're not terribly proud of, and they're trying to redeem themselves.
Yeah.
And so that's a constant theme through the story.
Yeah. I understand that am I correct that the story encompasses a great deal of history as well?
It does. Most of it takes place in the now. However, there's one chapter that goes into the past, mm-hmm. and it analyzes what life was like in the 1970s in Brome County. Of course, today Brome County doesn't exist. It's Brome, Missisquoi County, or mm-hmm. the MRC of Brome, Missisquoi. But at the time, Brome County was an entity unto itself, and it had its population, and it had its unsavory characters. I talk about all the bars that existed at the time. None of them exist anymore, except maybe two. And it was there was a lot of drinking. It was not a great time to be proud of. It was a colorful time. There was a lot of drinking, and there's a lot of bad things that happened. And so I explore those things in a humorous fashion and in a fictionalized fashion, of course.
Through the characters, the main characters in the story?
In that particular story, the main characters are not my two characters from the present. They're, we go through characters of the past.
Oh, and, interesting.
But my main characters do come into it at the end of that particular chapter.
Oh, interesting.
So it all leads together. It comes together.
Is it a bit of like non-linear story writing?
There's a little bit. It's a huge flashback. Mm-hmm. So chapter 4 is a huge flashback.
Okay, and interesting.
It's a flashback, but it's a flashback for an important character. Again, and for our two main characters to meet again at the end, there it's all interwoven.
Oh, so interesting.
It's a little bit non-linear, just a little bit.
Okay, okay.
Not confusing.
When you were writing this, were you juggling a pretty good cast, a pretty good number of characters?
I was. The secondary characters are colorful and not that important, and you don't see them that often. Mm. But the main ones, you see them more often, and so you get to know them better. You have to determine which are you going to be your main characters and how much you're going to focus on them. But that comes with the writing part. And you end up developing a strong affection for certain characters. And then that character just comes back. You end up falling in love with some of your own characters. And so they get more prominence in the book. Others don't get as much. But it's colorful. Those are colorful people.
So it sounds like this is part, you alluded to the fact that it's a bit of a personal novel. So what's your history with Brome County?
Well, in the 1970s, I was a police officer with the SQ, and I was stationed in Cownsville. Mm-hmm. And I was there for 4 years. And during those 4 years, it comes out in chapter 4.
Okay, yeah.
It's all there. And so I lived through the era where I was a police officer racing to Mansonville to quell fights and going to the Prince of Wales Hotel in Abercorn to quell fights. I lived through all of this. And so it's recapturing that time. And people of a certain age will remember how at the Terrace Inn in Bonneville and other bars, they were all over the place. There's only not even a handful now, but there was one in every community. Brome Village had their own bar. It was a notorious time. And one of my narrators, one of the important narrators of that chapter, says that it was nothing we should be proud of. It wasn't a proud time. He says there was too much drinking. There was too much drinking and driving. There was too much violence. And he says, nowadays is much better. He says, it's strange for a person my age to say that, because very often at a certain age, we're very nostalgic about the past. He says, but he's not nostalgic about the past. because it was not a good time. It was nothing to be proud of. A lot of drinking, a lot of fighting, and so.
It's interesting. I've heard that about a few little towns, even the town I live in, Waterville, just south of Sherbrooke. I've spoken to a few people who have lived here for a long time, and I heard there used to be 3 or 4 bars here, a lot of drinking, and there's no bars here anymore.
Even bars that exist, they are also restaurants. Mm-hmm. But every small little community had their bars, and they had their local ruffians. Hmm. And sometimes these ruffians would travel to other communities to go and flex their muscle. It was a weird time, and it wasn't unique to Brome County. It was not by any means, because during the 70s, when I was a cop, I knew of other communities all across the province and Ontario and other places. It was a wild time. Oh. That whole business, the Roadhouse movie back in the day was all about that. These places were rough. Mm-hmm. And it was a rough time. Interesting, colorful, but nothing to be proud of, really.
Yeah, but certainly full of material for a budding novelist.
Definitely. And also, even if I do skirt the edges of fictionalism, there's nobody around to remember this, or it's 50 years ago. It's long gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a lot of the best authors write about what they know. You know,
you have to do mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the authors writing about crazy traveling and stuff, it's because they've done that.
Yeah. In my case, I was arresting these people. So
yeah,
I was there, but
That's interesting. So to get back to the kind of the technical side of your novel, how would you describe your writing style? It sounds fun, but
it is fun. I think I'm fairly realistic. I'll judge a little bit from the comments that I get from my group and people who read the stories. I have a pretty straightforward style. It's relatively easy to read. I do not get into very fancy language unless one of my characters is erudite. In that case, that's all right. But otherwise, I'm pretty straightforward. Frequent touches of humor, I find is good for me and is good for the pace of the story. And I'm not afraid to delve into the emotions of the characters either. I do that frequently. And of the main characters, what's motivating them, how they feel about this, and some of their deepest secrets. It's kind of a straightforward, and I think it's relatively accessible in terms of style.
Mm-hmm. I understand that you're going to be writing a series on different counties in the Eastern Townships.
I'm going to try and do that. So Brome County was my first. Mm-hmm. My second I'm writing right now is Missisquoi County. Mm-hmm. And it takes place in Bedford. And my hero is a female cop this time. And she is the chief of police in Bedford. And I shouldn't give everything away. Somebody will steal my stories. But but anyway, she's a retired auto theft investigator from the SQ in Montreal back in the day. And in today's context, there's a spate of auto theft going on. There's an increase in vehicle thefts. And so she will be called upon to help the Montreal group with an international ring that traffics stolen vehicles. There will also be some human trafficking. There'll be all kinds of stuff. But she will be this solitary a hero working in Bedford, which Bedford, of course, does not have his own police force, but I say it does. And she will be a one-person army kind of thing. She's I like her character. Her character is great. She has good traits, so she'll be a great help to this task force.
Sounds like a great plan. Do you have a trilogy planned? Or
I'm hoping to keep on going as long as I can, and I'll pick a different area. I'm going to have a lot of trouble breaking up with this character, Zola, in the third. I might bring her into the third. I'm going to have trouble breaking up with her. I love her character. So she may be the star of the next one also, but it'll change places. And who knows where it'll go. It might come back to Brome County because I love Brome County. And it'll change names. It won't be county anymore unless I go to a different county. But I don't know the other counties that well. So I don't know about the third yet, but it's percolating in the back of my mind, but I want to finish number two first.
Is she named after Emile Zola, the French author?
Yes, she is. She is named after Emile Zola. Her mother called her that because it was her favorite writer. And her family name is Zamanovich. Zola Zamanovich. And so it's a mouthful, but it flows. And it's just part of the story. But yes, she was named after her. And her twin sister is Lola. And she was named after the song by the Kinks in the 70s.
Oh, okay. Not by the Nabokov novel.
Lolita. So yes, she was named after that author, Emile Zola. Yeah.
Oh, double Z. I like it.
Yes.
So what do you get out of writing? Why do you love to write?
It's hard to explain because it's a very sedentary. Yes, it's sedentary and it's a very solitary life as well. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting in front of a computer or a writing tablet and I write 4 to 5 hours a day. And it's lonely. I look forward to my Tuesday afternoons with my writing group because I want to be among people and share what you're doing and hear what other people are doing. There was a book fair yesterday. I went up to that, but all writers are the same. You're sitting there by yourself and you're tapping away or you're writing away. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little bit of a loner. Maybe there is that. So I don't feel that I'm in punishment. And the writing process is not, some people have a great ease with putting words down. I don't. I have to struggle with it. I love the editing part. The editing part, I love that. But struggling to get the first words down and to start building a story is difficult for me. And we're all different in those ways. But so I don't know. The joy is in the after when it's all done and you look, that's okay. I like that. I'm happy. And I read that to somebody and they laughed or, you know, it's in the after that there is the joy, not in the writing. The writing is not a joy. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
You like the editing and the result in the end.
I do like the editing. Once I write, if I write several pages, I'll go over it and I'll start playing with and making more out of it. Mm-hmm. But the initial putting the meat onto the bone is my most difficult part. That's my big obstacle. And I have to focus on that. I have to focus on that because what you're good at, you have to leave it alone. Fred Stenson, a friend of mine from Western Canada, he said that if you're a born editor, avoid the editing. Do the creative part. Mm-hmm. If you're a born creator, focus on your editing. Do what you're not good at to be able to become a well-rounded writer.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a structured writing schedule? I know that it's kind of famous writing schedules of different authors out there that are spoken of.
I get up in the morning. I have breakfast. I do a couple of puzzles, and then I'm on the job. I'm on the job, and I work till noon, till 1, till 2 if I have the free time. Today was a free morning, and the afternoon will be as well. Tomorrow is a full day of appointments, so not so much. Mm-hmm. But by Wednesday, it'll be a full day. I'll have as much time as I want. And so, but morning times, not that I'm a morning person. It's just that I have nothing else to do in the morning. So that's when, but evenings, I'm not as lively. I'm not as productive. Mm-hmm. Mornings and afternoons, I'm good.
But it was actually, I heard about your book launch from Jan Draper. Were you involved in any way with Right Here, Right Now?
I was. Well, I wasn't involved in the background. I attended the conferences that they gave. They do these classes on Zoom, and I have attended a bunch of those. Mm-hmm. And so I consider myself part of that family. And some of our writers in our group do that as well. I know one of our writers, Phyllis, is part of Right Here, Right Now. Mm-hmm. And yesterday there was a book fair at the church in Lennoxville. And I was there, and so were other people from that group. So there's different communities of writers, and Right Here, Right Now is one of them. And kudos to them for doing what they do. And they're very generous in their promotion of other people's works, meaning other groups. So they are a force behind the literary people in our little community of Lennoxville and Sherbrooke, the whole area, the townships.
Oh, right on. Yeah. Well, could you tell people where they can find your novel? And this is a good opportunity to shout out your favorite bookstore.
Absolutely, favorite bookstore. Brumlake Books, right here on Lakeside in Knowlton, is where everybody should come. Even from Sherbrooke, come here and buy it. Or at worst case scenario, you can get them on Amazon. Google my name, Stephen Gobby, and the novels will come up. But definitely preferential, always come to Knowlton Bookstore. They are a great supporter. They have a whole section on local authors. And so you can go in right away, local authors, and it's right at the front of the store, not hidden in the back, right at the front. And so they are great supporters of local authors. And they during the literary festival, they have a local authors night. Mm-hmm. So they're very supportive. And so I would say, yes, if you come to Knowlton to buy your books and have a cup of coffee in one of our great restaurants or while you're here.
That's Brougham Lake Books in Knowlton.
Brougham Lake Books on Lakeside in Knowlton. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I always like to encourage when I have authors on the show, let us know some of the local bookstores we can get your books.
Yeah, and I heard that, now I haven't been there because Sherbrooke or Lennox is a little bit further. I would have yesterday, but I was on another mission. But Black Cat Books, apparently, Lennoxville is another good one, especially independent bookstores. Mm. I worked in an independent bookstore when I was living in Alberta. Mm-hmm. And it's a great feeling. You're surrounded by books, by literature, great knowledge and great spirit. I love bookstores.
But, yeah, I agree with you. It's good to keep them alive in the community. Black Cat Books is great. Brougham Lake Books I'm familiar with as well. It's a great bookstore. And I hope everybody will continue to buy physical books at bookstores.
Yes, yes, yes. In Sutton also, there's a great literary community. My book is at Farfelure. And in, there's another store in Cownsville called Addiction. Mm-hmm. I think it's Addiction or Addiction. And so there are some good bookstores in the area. I always shop. I always shop in bookstores. I always look around. I love a bookstore. Bookstores and libraries. Libraries are wonderful too. The beautiful spirit in there.
Can you find your book in the library?
Probably. My book's in the library. My book's in Betts Library in Knowlton, yes.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes. Right on. Well, I encourage everybody to go out there and support your local authors. Thank you so much, Stephen, for being with me here on About Townshippers. It's always great to speak with authors who are from the townships, writing about the townships. I hope everybody will help to support them and help to support your local bookstore.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Stephen.
Thank you.
You're listening to About Townshippers on CIDI 99.1 FM and CJMQ 88.9 FM. And I'm about to play one of my favorite Christmas songs, simply called The Christmas Song by Nat King Cole.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to About Townshippers on CIDI 99.1 FM and CJMQ 88.9 FM. We just listened to one of my favorite Christmas songs called simply The Christmas Song by Nat King Cole. For our second interview of authors in the Eastern Townships, we're going to discuss a marvelous anthology of works produced by the Eastern Townships-based Right Here, Right Now Writing Workshop series. The anthology is called Connections in a Flash.
I'd like to welcome Rebecca Welton, the editor of Connections in a Flash, and Gay Granary, one of the contributing authors. Welcome, Rebecca and Gay.
Thank you very much for having us.
Nice to have you here. Thank you so much for joining me today. Very much appreciate it. And let's get right into it. Rebecca, did you choose the name for the anthology?
I did not. So we have, whenever we do an anthology, so Right Here, Right Now, this is, I think it was about five anthologies. I've been involved in the last three. So this is the last three that I've been involved in. And each one we have an editorial board to help out. Mm-hmm. So we have a fantastic editorial board this time. We had Jan Draper, John LeBaron, Phyllis Size, Gillian Eastley, and Lee Sullivan Lapp. And what we did, because the last time that we did an anthology, our last anthology was actually a flash anthology as well. So we did sort of flash writing. And we knew that this time around we wanted to do flash writing again, because the feeling among our participants was that they liked the shortness of the pieces. So, for example, if you write a book, it can take months or even years of writing. It can be really slow going. But with flash writing, you can really write something in a, you could write it in 10 minutes, you can write it in a couple of hours, you could write it in a morning, and then you get that feeling of accomplishment, that really, like, oh my goodness, I did that. There's a start, there's a middle and an end. I've created something and it's there. You're not, it, in comparison, you have, like, when you write a book, and it might be months, absolutely, like sometimes even years before you get that feeling. So a lot of our participants in Right Here, Right Now in our creative writing courses, they were very keen for us to do another anthology on flash writing. So this time around, the editorial board decided that we wanted to explore the theme. We wanted to have a theme of connection. So the previous anthology, Flash Reads, there wasn't a theme. It was just, we asked people to submit any types of flash writing. This time around, we went with a theme of connections because we really wanted to explore the way people feel connected to friends, to family, to strangers, to figures from the past, to nature and the world around us. And then after all the submissions in, all of the submissions came in, we had a look at them all so we could really get a feel for the anthology and how people were exploring that connectedness. And then the editorial board, we all came up with some options for the titles. We voted on the possible titles, and this one, Connections in a Flash, was the overwhelming favorite.
So it connected the theme and the style of writing. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
So what is flash writing for people who are not familiar with it?
Yeah, so flash writing, it's quite a broad category, actually, but it basically covers writing that is short. So writers of flash are able to explore, or what the aim is, you're going to explore the universal human emotions and display truths in a very short words, very few paragraphs. One of the most famous pieces of flash writing that they think was written by Ernest Hemingway, but they haven't been able to nail that down definitely. It is only six words long. So this is it. For sale, baby shoes, never worn. I'm going to repeat that. For sale, baby shoes, never worn. Now that is only six words, but it conveys so much and really hits you hard. Mm. So flash writing, that's what we are aiming for. It's something you have to hone your skills as a writer, because you don't have a lot of word length to put your story in there or to put what you're trying to say in there, you really have to think about every paragraph, every sentence, every single word. Is this working for the story? Is it earning its place there on the page? So flash writing, it can be longer than 6 words. And there are lots of different categories for the different lengths. For the purpose of our anthology, we decided we were going to go with poetry up to 20 lines, flash fiction or nonfiction up to a maximum of 500 words, and drabble up to 100 words. I have a feeling you're going to ask me what drabble is.
Drabble, I imagine a lot of the listeners right here on CIDI 99.1 FM have not heard of a drabble before. Please enlighten us.
No. Yeah, so a drabble, it is well known in writerly circles, but it's not well known outside of that necessarily. So the term itself is said to come from Monty Python's 1971 Big Red Book, which basically it describes a game called Drabble where players compete to write a novel. But technically, the technical term for a drabble is a story of exactly 100 words. So which a number of people who submitted in this category actually achieved this. However, we did say for this anthology, because it is the first time we have run a drabble category, we did decide to accept pieces that were slightly under 100 words because it is very, very difficult to get to that exact 100 words. But I have to say, it is a lot of fun.
Well,
if you ever try it.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. I personally, I find constraints in writing. I write myself and I find constraints to help me with my creativity. I don't know if your participants have found that. Have you found that, Gay?
Yes. One of the things that we work a lot on in Right Here, Right Now is the precision of language. And when you are constrained like that, I'm not quite sure how to answer this question. I just write all the time. I've just written a memoir that's a full size. And I don't normally like constraints, but since I'm involved with Right Here, Right Now and taking workshops over time, I'm starting to appreciate how it makes me focus more and get my thoughts clear. I'm an intuitive writer, so constraints.
No, you don't have to enjoy the constraints. That's my perspective, but there's so many different forms of writing.
And one of the wonderful things about Right Here, Right Now is that in each workshop, we've got incredible facilitators who are warm and open and very smart. So they'll do a presentation on a form like Drabble, and then we get to practice it and then share our writing and that process. And then there's always a chance at the end of all the sessions where we choose the one that we like the best and read it. So it's a very, I'm an educator and for a living. Now I'm a writer for a living and for a not living. And I find the whole model that we have is very, very good. So I am starting to really appreciate constraint and I'm finding freedom within it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Definitely. So
I think, just to add,
yeah, sorry,
I think it's important to realize that when you start writing, you get all different types of writers and what will work for one person won't work for another. So some people will love the constraints. Some people will think they hate constraints and then decide that they love it. And some people, it won't work at all for them. It's just not how their brain thinks. It's not how they express their creativity. It's just not going to work for them. However, so for when we do an anthology like this, when we do an anthology where we are putting constraints, you have to have a word limit. If you want to be accepted for your submission to go forward, you have to be under that word limit. We do find it can really hone the skills of writers. And this is one of the reasons we do it, because you absolutely have to think, okay, can I say what I want to say instead of in 20 words? Can I say it in 3? And it makes you think, it forces you to improve as a writer, because you are constantly having to think, oh, well, is there a better word for this? Is there a better way of doing this? If I flip it round the other way, would that work better? Mm-hmm. So it really does. It's a very good exercise to try, because it really can improve and hone your skills as a writer that you can then apply to other forms of writing that perhaps don't have constraints.
Yeah, that would be in terms of meaning and sound. When you're constrained, somehow there's more emphasis in your writing on making sure that it sounds right, which you're getting into length of words, vowel sounds, you know, to express what you want to express in such short space. You need to take so many of those point, you know, like poetic points into consideration, which then does feed into long work. It is an incredible process. And Rebecca is, she's our structure lady. I came in just, you know, I call it puking on a page. And some of it was pretty good. You know, I mean, I would read it and I would think it was pretty good. So, and I was kind of resistant to structure, but Rebecca is, and right here, right now, is presents it in a way that a person who is intuitive and, you know, free and a bit abandoned in ways uses it and really helps. It really improves. I think my writing has improved a great deal over the 3 years I've been in Right Here, Right Now, even though I've written all my life and taken a lot of other, you know, workshops.
You mentioned how that it's important to keep into account how your writing sounds. Do you, when you're editing, Gay, do you ever read your work out loud?
Always. I always read it out loud, whether it's long, like I have a memoir I'm now trying to find an agent for that's 80,000 words. And even that, I read out loud. And I'm finding that over the 3 years of writing it, I have gone back and made changes based on how it trips off my tongue, you know, the flow of it. And it's become, I think, a better and a nice and a tight work. So, and it all it interact, yeah. You know, the whole of the of White Right Here, Right Now, and all the different classes, they interact. You learn, they all go together. They're interconnected. It goes with connections in a flash.
Yeah.
So it's great.
Yeah. Well, I could see your style, though, of the intuitive aspect of your writing, Gay, when I was reading your pieces. They are very, I found them very, like, energetic. And actually, I was wondering, since they're flash writings, would you like to read one of your pieces?
Well, I have thought about that, and I have picked one and printed it if you'd like me to read it. It's a bit dark. I read it to my son this morning when he brought over the headphones, and he said, you've got some really good images there, but that's dark. But I'd be happy to read it. It's the one hurtled into oblivion.
Okay, yeah.
Would you like me to read?
Would love to.
How do you think about that, Rebecca? I didn't think I could swear, so I didn't read Soul Survivor. I didn't choose Soul Survivor. All right. So it's called Hurtled into Oblivion, Gaza and Canada. Come, look, see, said Jane to Sally. See my ancestors pick off Iroquois, Abenaki, Palestinians, in canoes made from bark, or homes erected precariously on sand. Rifles snap arrows, shatter bones, bombs blow women and children to bits at breakfast. From sea to shining sea, warriors claim bloodied land and scapegoat God with their transgressions. Nonsensical conquerors scrub their faces vigorously with lye soap and hot water, then hand babes in arms and mothers into trains rattling along blood-slicked tracks. Faulty brakes fail. Inhuman unkindness hurtles us into oblivion. It's a drabble of, it was 100 words, but it may be 98 or something now.
After editing.
Yeah. I just take my hat off to Right Here, Right Now, and the model that they use for writers. It's so very complete. And together with our facilitators, I'm trying to find the right word, mentors, leaders, inspirers. It's a really good place to be. And I encourage other writers to look at it.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things. Rebecca, how did you get involved in Right Here, Right Now?
So originally I'm from Scotland, and then I lived in England for a while, but we moved, me and my husband and two kids, we arrived nearly 6 years ago into the Eastern Townships. My husband got a job in Montreal, and we arrived not knowing, neither of us had ever been to Canada. So we arrived at the airport in the middle of March with 11 suitcases and two children. But we did know we didn't want to live in Montreal. We wanted to live out in the Eastern Townships. So we came here, and I didn't know anyone. In the UK, I had done lots of writing courses, and I had been shortlisted for various short stories, and I had written a draft of a book. So I knew I really wanted to continue writing, and I needed to find people with similar interests. So I did a search, and Right Here, Right Now came up. So I went along to one of their workshops. It was on comedy, actually, how to write comedy. And how to put humor in your writing. And I just loved it. It was just like the best thing. I got to be creative. I got to meet other people who enjoyed writing. We got to sort of just push ourselves. But then at the end, as Gace mentioned earlier, at the end of our sessions, we always find it very important. We are very, I want to say that we are a very supportive group. So we're always there to lift people up, to support them, to help them improve. And that's sort of our ethos for Right Here, Right Now. But at the end of each session, if you want, it's not mandatory, don't have to if you don't want to. But if you would like to share what you have written, you can share it, and then you can get some feedback. So just having that ability to share your work, to put it out there, and it does, the first few times, you do feel incredibly vulnerable. But as I said, we are a very caring, very supportive group. And all of our workshops are, but you get to put your work out there and get sort of an immediate reaction from people, whether they're, and I've seen this in workshops where people, they have read their work and they're bowled over by the response, because everyone's like, oh, wow, that was incredible. That was so beautifully written. That was incredibly powerful. That really hit me where it hurts. This, like, really, I really got this. It really spoke to me. And then having that feedback, and then being able to use that to keep writing and to improve your writing and to try new things. And I think that's another really important aspect of Right Here, Right Now, is we do encourage people to try new things, because there is so much writing. There isn't just one form. There is just so much of it. And a lot of people, they find something they love, and they like, this is my lane. I'm going to stick with my lane. But we do try and offer and try to gently nudge people, try different things. Try, as I said, with gay structure. So we did a whole course on structure. We've done courses, workshops on themes, romance. Jan Draper does amazing workshops all about poetry and different forms of poetry. We also have Laura Teasdale, who does script writing. So there's a lot of different options. So yeah, so I know I'm wandering around here, but coming back to your question, how I got involved, because I needed to find other people who enjoyed writing and enjoyed reading and who have that ethos of a community group where we're all doing the same thing, we're all supporting each other, we're all cheering each other on. I thought it was just absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I absolutely jumped at the chance to get involved.
Oh, and is this your first time editing anthology?
No, so this is the third time editing an anthology. So I am a qualified line editor, and I do work as a developmental editor as well. But this is the third anthology that I have edited. So the first one we did during COVID. So initially, Right Here, Right Now was in-person workshops, but then COVID hit, and so we went online. So there are all the classes, all the workshops that we offer, they are always free, and they are always, you can always access them through Zoom as well. So during COVID, it was so, so important for many of our participants because it gave us the chance to see other people, to connect with other people. We got that connection when we were all quarantined in our homes. So we did from that came an anthology called Hope and Resilience in the Time of COVID. Mm-hmm. And then after that, and after we sort of came out of COVID, we decided, we talked to our participants and we wanted to do another one because so many people got so much from, it gave them a project, it gave them something to do, gave them a community and gave them that connectedness. So a lot of people really wanted to do another anthology. So we decided, and again, we talked to a lot of the participants and they said, we didn't want anything long. We liked the brevity where we can just dip in and out of things and we can dip in and out of writing and we can write something that isn't going to take us weeks to write. Mm-hmm. We can write something and get that sense of accomplishment that, oh, I have done that. This is what I've achieved this morning. Mm-hmm. So we did the second anthology called Flash Reads. And as I mentioned earlier, it didn't have any theme to it. It was just any sort of flash writing. And now this is the third one, Connections in Flash.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. That's a... starting to develop a rich tradition right here, right now. That's great.
Yes. Yes.
And Gay, when did you get involved with Right Here, Right Now?
Well, I got involved through a friend of mine, Bernice Sorge, who is also part of Right Here, Right Now and a fantastic artist. She was involved in the in-person classes that happened prior to COVID, and she kept suggesting that I get involved in this writing group. And I never got around to it. I was like renovating cabins. So when COVID hit, I joined and I haven't looked back. I take every class and I've participated in all the anthologies. And over that time, I've written a memoir with lots of support from Rebecca. So it's, I've always written. I mean, I started writing when I was a girl. At 12, I was given a diary by my brother, and that really informed my memoir. I don't like write every day in a diary, and I go to it when there's a period of angst or joy, or you know, something I need to or want to get down and remember and figure out. So my journals are never chronological. And I have like boxes of journals for, because I have two more memoirs I'd like to write. So I've always written is the thing. But Right Here, Right Now has focused all through all the workshops and I've been writing continually since I joined. I think I've become, I call myself an author now.
Oh, that's wonderful.
She's absolutely an author.
Well, it's wonderful to be able to get involved in this kind of rich community of authors.
Yes.
So you can teach each other.
Because out of this group, so far, there are how many novels, Rebecca, that we've launched? Eight or?
It's about that,
yeah. About eight and counting. So people are, it's a continuous development. It's ongoing. Like, you know, you keep growing and you keep incorporating what you're learning and people reach a point where they're publishing books. And I'm hoping to jump on that bandwagon eventually. I just want to be really ready. But that's what's so amazing about Right Here, Right Now is there's so many opportunities. Now we're even going into screenplay and looking at maybe putting on a production, you know, or introducing something even at the Piggery or... You know, there's no end to Right Here, Right Now, trying to find ways for its members to get to express themselves, to not just be in a workshop and then it ends there.
So. Yeah, the Piggery Theater in North Abbey.
Yes.
Yeah. That sounds very impressive and very exciting to see what the future holds for Right Here, Right Now and the writing community here in the Eastern Townships. Rebecca, how can people find Connections in a Flash who want to read it?
So that would be amazing. We are launching the book on the 30th of November. So we're having an in-person event at Centre Latbrome in Knowlton, but it's also going to be online. It's going to be on Zoom as well. Okay. So we're linking up with Zoom. It's in person and via Zoom. We're doing a big launch event at 2 p.m. at Centre Lac-Brome in Knowlton on the 30th of November. The book is going to be available in paperback and ebook formats on Amazon. Okay. And we're also hoping it will also be found at Bromley Books in Knowlton.
Okay.
But for any information, so any information about the book, about the launch, where you can find it, about Right Here, Right Now, and our classes, all the details of our workshops, our events are on our new website. So we have a new website, which is whwn.ca. Mm-hmm. That's whwn.ca. And also on our Facebook page, if you do a search for Right Here, Right Now. We have a Facebook page where we put all the information up there as well. And if you have any questions as well, if there are any, we do find some participants are a bit nervous of the Facebook page or of the website. So we are actually having this Saturday, November the 23rd, we're doing a Zoom open house tour of the website and the Facebook page at 1 p.m. Katie Stoneburner, who is our fantastic communication coordinator, she is going to give a tour and show you how it all works and where to find all the information.
And so people know also who may be Googling this, it's Right Here, Right Now, with a W for both the rights. So yeah. Like writing, yeah. Right Here, Right Now.
Yes, with a W, right, with a W. It was actually, the name was created by Melanie Cutting. Mm-hmm. I know she's well known in the area. She was very heavily involved when it first originated in sort of 2026, Right Here, mm-hmm. Right Now. And she was the one who came up with the name.
Yeah. Yeah, and I believe she was connected to Townshippers Association.
It is, because the project of Right Here, Right Now, it began in 2016. Thank you. 2016, it began with our stories, and it was sponsored by Townshippers mm-hmm. Association with funding from the federal government's Heritage Program. Yeah. And in that, that was their very first anthology for Right Here, Right Now. They did an anthology of township memoirs called Our Stories. And then Townshippers Association applied for funding to extend the project. That went into sort of 2020. And then when the pandemic hit, sponsorship was taken over by Bishop's University Lifelong Learning Academy. Mm-hmm. And then recently, we've been very, very lucky to, we've got a grant from New Horizons Seniors Program. Mm-hmm. And we partnered with Grace Village, who helped support us. Mm-hmm.
Becoming more and more embedded in the community with more and more institutions. It's really wonderful to hear. And well, we're coming to the end of our time, Rebecca and Gay. Thank you so much for joining us here today. I just want to remind our viewers, we've been speaking with Rebecca Walton, the editor of Connections in a Flash, and Gay Granary, who is a contributing author with In Connections in a Flash. Thank you so much, Rebecca and Gay, for joining us here today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
It was a pleasure.
It's been lovely.
You've been listening to About Townshippers on CIDI 99.1 FM and CJMQ 88.9 FM. On CIDI 99.1 FM, episodes will be broadcast on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. and again on Thursdays at 1 p.m. Our episodes on CJMQ will also be broadcast Tuesday at 10 a.m. and again on Thursdays, but this time at 4 p.m. A shout out to Yvon Grandin, our show's technician and editor. We're lucky to have him. In fact, if you like classic rock, check out his show, The Ivan Hour, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10 p.m. on CIDI 99.1 FM. My name's Nathaniel Lamont, and this has been About Townshippers. Bye-bye.
Shame.